Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And Robin, of course, Flint's crisis has caused everyone to take a closer look at what's coming out of their own taps, and communities across the country are examining how much lead is in their water and pipes. And just this morning, USA Today reported that 350 school water systems have failed lead tests in recent years. Irina Zorov from WESA in Pittsburgh explains why lead was such a popular plumbing material for generations and why replacing lead pipes would not be easy or cheap.
Down the street from our studio on the south side of Pittsburgh is Vogue True Value Hardware.
You sell plumbing equipment here?
Sure do. What are you looking for?
That's Sean Vogue, the store's owner. I asked him if I could buy some lead piping for my house.
No.
Why not?
It's no longer legal. That's like an old-fashioned thing.
He actually looked slightly horrified that I'd requested lead.
The EPA, you know, monitors the city, and they actually did a run-through here probably within the past year, checking all the hardware stores to make sure that there isn't, you know, anything on the shelves anywhere. We didn't have any, you know. I think it's pretty common sense that you don't want lead in your drinking water.
That wasn't always so.
From a purely engineering perspective, lead had attractive features. It was durable and it was malleable. My name is Werner Truskin. I'm a professor of economics at the University of Pittsburgh.
Truskin wrote a book called The Great Lead Water Pipe Disaster.
And so if you go back and you read the engineering journals from, say, 1900, you find lots of quotations from engineers saying, look, lead's going to last a really long time. This is really the Cadillac of pipes. We want to use it.
And it's true. Lead does last a really long time. In many cases, pipes installed 100 years ago are doing just fine. But the health effects of lead were minimized. In the early 1900s, some doctors linked miscarriages and various health issues to lead leaching from pipes into the water flowing through them. The lead problem was slow-moving, and besides, says Truskin, public health officials had bigger fish to fry.
Compare that to, say, if somebody says cholera is a problem or typhoid's a problem. Cholera can kill you in 48 hours.
In Pennsylvania, at the turn of the 20th century, most cities were installing lead pipes that ran from a large water main to individual homes and buildings. For the bigger mains in the streets, lead was too expensive and too soft. When government officials started to accept that lead wasn't all good, the industry fought back. Richard Rabin, a public health professional who's written about lead, says the industry prolonged its product's reign by lobbying.
They sent some of their staff around the country.
They met with plumbing associations, plumbing code writers, and local, state, and federal government officials
to urge them to keep using lead pipes. In some cases where lead pipes were banned, they were able to get those bans overturned.
Philadelphia was requiring lead pipes in the early 1900s. According to the Lead Industries Association's meeting minutes from 1938, the group successfully pushed codes requiring lead for plumbing in the rest of Pennsylvania that year.
You can see that's what happens when you flush your toilet.
At a training center for plumbers outside Pittsburgh, Tom Bigley walks past a 2x4 skeleton of a house where students practice various plumbing skills. One wall is lined with toilets and see-through pipes.
It gives you a very good visual on how a plumbing system works.
At another workstation, he picks up a sawed-off chunk of lead waterline. It's got a bulge where it connects to a valve.
This is actually called a lead wipe joint. They don't do that anymore, but that was part of the trade back. That's why a plumber, that's what they got their name from. That's a Latin word for lead wiper.
Bigley started out in 1980, but he never learned how to make those joints. By then, lead was a little passé. Copper became the material of choice. Then, plastic. Plus, officials finally accepted the negative health effects of lead exposure. Local and federal agencies banned lead by 1986. But many lead pipes remain, and Bigley's never really thought it was a problem. While Flint's experience is giving him pause, Bigley and a fellow plumber, John Inks, say the call to replace all lead piping is complicated and expensive.
We've got a budget, you know?
They get going crazy over this lead thing. Where's it going to stop, though? Is it going to stop at the lead service lines? Is it going to go into like, oh, okay, that was leaded copper back in the 60s, 70s, and 80, part of the 80s? Where's it going to stop? I don't know. I mean, that's a lot. You're talking a lot of infrastructure.
Because even the houses that have copper, they use 50-50 solder. So right. Now you have the solder joints have lead in them.
Right.
So where's it going to end is right.
Bigley and Inc. say they're not against the idea of tackling all that infrastructure. They just seem overwhelmed by the thought of it. And the hardest part? Lead's everywhere, but no one knows where exactly. For the most part, there's no mapping, no documentation. For Here and Now, I'm Irina Zhorov in Pittsburgh.
And Irina's story comes to us from the statewide reporting project, Keystone Crossroads.